This is Digital Story Podcast number 734, April 14th, 2020. Today's theme is Project Productive, Digitize Family Memories. I'm Derek Story. Most of us have at least another month indoors. So I've designed a four-week online course that I think most photographers will find extremely satisfying. Finally, getting to those shoeboxes of family photos that need to be organized, digitized, and cataloged. We are going to embrace shelter in place in a most productive way. I hope you enjoy today's show. Okay, by now, most of us have accomplished many of our low-hanging fruit projects, right? We've organized our camera gear, caught up on our paperwork, and maybe even have cleaned a closet or two already. But now we're going, okay, what am I going to do next? What should I do next? Well, I have an idea. There's an 800-pound gorilla that's lurking beneath many of our beds in that box of slides and snapshots that we've been meaning to tackle. And when I say been meaning to tackle, I mean for years, right? For years. Why haven't we done so? Well, to be honest, that project can feel a bit overwhelming. There are so many aspects to it, it's hard to know where to begin. Well, now you have a starting point. My Digitizing Family Memories online course that begins on Monday, April 20th. And the best news is, if you're an Inner Circle member, the class is absolutely free. Won't cost you a penny. It reminds me of one of my favorite Steve Jobs jokes, which is the operating system now is absolutely free. You just have to buy a Mac to use it, okay? All right. Not quite that expensive. $5 a month is a lot different than a brand new Mac. But anyway, you see the humor in what I'm talking about, right? So what are we going to do and why am I talking about it? Well, I'm talking about it because for many folks, this is going to be free. And I think this is going to be a terrific project. And if you're not an Inner Circle member, we'll talk more about how you can participate as well a little bit later in this segment. Right now, I just want to focus on the project itself. And first, I want to talk a little bit about why, for many of us, this hasn't happened to this point. And it really is overwhelming, right? Because if you start thinking about, you know, the whole process of it, and then you think about all the articles that you've read and all the stuff that you've thought about, and what happens is that when you have a really big project like this, and, you know, if you have just one shoebox full of snapshots, it's a big project. If you have multiple shoeboxes full of stuff, it's even a bigger project. And one thing that I learned a long time ago, and it was such a great lesson, is that if you have something really big, right, a really big project, the best way to tackle it is to break it down into parts and then start tackling the parts. So then you do one part and then you do the next part and the next part. Next thing you know, you're halfway through the project that you never thought you'd be able to get started with. And that's the way we're going to do this. We're going to break it down into parts. On the broadest level, we're going to break it into four parts. So each Monday, starting the 20th, which would be next Monday if you're listening to this podcast when it comes out, I'm going to publish a video on Vimeo, and it'll be password protected so those in the course can get to the video. Now, in the video, I'm going to set up the first part of the project. And so you can watch it whenever you want. It's not streamed. It'll be there waiting for you on Monday morning. And so you can watch it on Monday morning. You can watch it Monday afternoon. You can watch it on Tuesday if you wish. But the thing I would say, don't get too far into the week before you watch it, because there are assignments that go with the video. And those are breaking that bigger part, you know, the 1/4 part, right? You know, because we've got four videos. That's breaking that down into even smaller parts, right? Those assignments are the things that you can work on during the course of the week that start to move you forward with this project. And you will have options on how to approach this. So I'm going to not just show you one way, but I'll show you a few different ways to accomplish these goals. You pick the ways that are most comfortable for you or that work best with the tools that you have at hand. because I'm assuming that for a lot of folks, they're not going to be able to go out and get tools for this project, right? Where most of us are going to have to use what we already have. I am going to show some cool, inexpensive scanners that you can order if you wish. And I'm talking about like around $100 that you can order. And, you know, Amazon will bring those to you. So, you know, that kind of stuff. But generally speaking, I'm trying to work with the stuff that we already have, which means that I'll have techniques for digitizing that are as simple as using a smartphone or as sophisticated as using a film scanner. So it's going to be, you know, there'll be something in there for you. And then you start working on it. You start working on the assignments. You also get notes via email. During the course of the week, you'll make headway, right? You'll make headway, and hopefully you'll get to the next point, right? The next point, which would be sometime over that weekend. And then on Monday, there'll be the second video. And on that second video, we will take what we've done and we'll move that ball a little bit more forward and we'll keep going. And there'll be little assignments with that. Now, at the end of the course, then what you will have is, well, first of all, you will have conquered that 800-pound gorilla, right? You will have, I'm not going to say slayed it, because that's mean, right? We don't want to hurt it, right? We don't want to hurt the gorilla. We just want to tame it. we want to be the master of the gorilla. And that is what's going to happen by the end of the course. And then you can apply this to, you know, any number of other projects, because these techniques that we're going to work on, they'll work for kind of other related stuff as well. Or you may decide, let's say you have 4 shoe boxes under the bed, and for the purpose of the course, right? Because you're going to learn along the way. There'll be a little trial and error as you try different stuff. For the purpose of the course, you say, I'll just tackle 1 shoebox. This is what I'm going to use for my course. And then you go all the way through. And then at the end of it, you go, okay, what did I like about this process? And, you know, what should I adjust? So then you can kind of figure that out, make your adjustments, and then tackle the next shoebox, right? And go from there. So I just feel like this thing has legs, and I feel like the timing is absolutely perfect, right? It is absolutely perfect. And to let you know, I have worked on this project, you know, many times in the past. A lot of the techniques that I'll be talking about, I've learned through trial and error, and I do my reading and research and all that too. But I have a whole new stack of stuff. I found another shoebox. So I'm going to be going through it with you as well, which is kind of fun. So we'll all be doing this together. Now, one of the nice things about this is that with the instructional video that I'll put up each week, there's a comments section there. And so if you have a better idea of something that I talked about, you know, I want you to post that in the comments, because what we can do, just like a regular workshop where we're physically there together, we can start sharing information. We can start sharing information in that, well, I like to do this. You know, you talked about that, and I have done it that way. It's good, but I tried, if I add this, then it works a little bit better, that kind of stuff. And it will also give you the opportunity to ask questions of me and the group. So if there's something, if you hit a little wall or something during the week, during the assignment, then, you know, hopefully either I or one of the other participants can help you out. And we're going to have a lot of participants on this. There's no limit to the number because of the way that I've designed it, the way it's set up. So we can have a lot of folks there. We already have a lot of folks signed up because it's free to our Patreon members, and I already let them know about it, and a whole bunch of them are already joining us, which I think is fantastic. And by the way, you want those Inner Circle members in this course, right? Because there's a lot of smart people there, and they're going to be, you know, very helpful as well. There'll be a chance for some interaction via the comments. If I see that we need, you know, something that's even more interactive, I'll take a look at that. You know, I'm going to kind of keep adjusting it as we go to make sure that it meets all of our needs. Alrighty. So that part will be really fun. Now let's talk about how you can participate in this. So if you're already a Patreon member, it's a no-brainer because you've already seen the post. And if you're interested, chances are you've already said, count me in, and you're already in. That part's easy. If you're not a Patreon member, you have two options. One option is to go over to the Patreon site. There's a tile on all the pages, Digital Story, and sign up. Become an Inner Circle member. It's $5 a month. If you do that, then you're instantly eligible for this class, right? That's all you have to do. Just sign up and then, you know, go to the post. You'll have access to the post about this class there and just say, count me in. You'll be counted in. Boom, you're done. So that's an easy way to go. Another way to go is if you don't like that route, then you can go over to our workshops page on the Nimble Photographer. So it's thenimblephotographer.com. Click on workshops and you'll see it there. And I also have a link directly to it in the show notes. And you can just sign up there, just like a one-shot deal, and it's $45, which is, you know, still quite reasonable for all the stuff that we're going to be doing. For a month worth of entertainment, $45, right? Maybe entertainment and a few challenges too, right? Because these things never go exactly the way that we want once we get in the middle of them. Regardless of how you join us, can start preparing now. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, just a couple things that you can do, and then I want you to stop at that point, okay? I don't want you to keep going because you may have to undo some stuff once you see the instruction. So the first step is, and I think this is really important for this time that we're in right now, while we're all sheltered in place, is to find a dedicated work area that you can leave the project spread out on the table for the duration of the course. Because I think one of the barriers to getting this done in the past is that, okay, you know, you pull out the shoebox, you get everything all spread out, you work on it for a little bit, and then, oh, we got to have dinner, and, you know, you're doing this at the dining room table, so you got to put everything away, and then you put it away, and you put it back in, and then you never get back to it. Or you don't remember where you left off, or, you know exactly what I'm talking about here, don't you? You do. I know you do. So you need a dedicated work area. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up a table. I have, these nice little tables. They're like a double card table. You know, they're portable, so I can store them when I'm not using them and open it up when I need something. So I'm going to set up a portable table here at the studio for this project so I can just leave things spread out. So the idea is that you work on the project a little bit each day, and then when you need to move on to something else, you just leave it exactly where it is. Just leave it where it is so that you don't have to, you know, put anything away or anything. And then when you come back to work on it again, you can pick up right where you left off because it's all right there. So I think figuring out a dedicated work area where you can leave this project during the duration of it, I think is super important. Alrighty. Next, the second thing that I think you can do now is begin your search for the family snapshots, the slides, the negatives, all that kind of stuff. Now, you don't have to do anything with them yet. In fact, I don't want you to do anything with them other than find them. Find the box that you want to work on for this project. And then, you know, you can spend some time getting familiar with the contents of the box. This is actually a very fun part of this project is, you know, going back through the pictures, looking at them, discovering snapshots that you didn't even know that you had or that you've forgotten that you had taken or that Aunt Jane took or Uncle Bob or whomever. So you can spend some time. In fact, it's good getting a little familiar with the contents of the box. Because, you know, one of the assignments is you're probably going to have to do a little research to find out a bit more about some of those pictures. So if you kind of know what you're working with there, enjoy it, kind of get your head around it, and then stop. Don't start doing anything yet until it's time, until we start the course on Monday. Alrighty. That right there should keep you out of, you know, your partner's hair for a little bit, for at least a few hours or a day or two, getting all of that set up. So the first two things right now is set up your dedicated work area that you can use for this project and say, hey, I want to leave this here. It's only for a month, but it's really important that I be able to use this space. And then second, find the content that you want to start with on the project. Get a little familiar with it and enjoy it a bit. And I really hope that you can join us for this online course because it's going to be fun. It's going to be productive. And I think that when we get to start easing out of shelter in place, if you have this under your belt as you come out of shelter in place, I think you're going to feel really good about how you spent some of the time while you were trapped in your home, in your apartment, or wherever, wherever you've had to draw shelter. So I'm really looking forward to spending time with you on this project, and I can't wait to get started. Do you have a film camera that needs a good home? If you do, guess what? I can help you with that. You know, over the last year, I've received some great donations from our community. Film cameras that they're just not using anymore. Film cameras that are doing nothing more than taking up space in the closet. And if you have done some closet cleaning during the shelter-in-place time and you have run across a camera or two, then go to thenimblephotographer.com. Send me, you know, use the contact form, and they have there's a box there you can check specifically for donating cameras, and drop me a note and say, hey, I found this. I didn't even know I had it anymore. And would you be interested in refurbishing it, getting it all cleaned up and ready to go, and putting it in the film camera shop? If you do that, I would be most appreciative. It's such a win-win all the way around. It gets another camera in the hands of someone who really wants to embrace film photography. A lot of times they are college students. It also helps support this podcast. And it is something that I enjoy doing. I love working on these cameras and getting them back in shape. So anyway, if you do clean a closet and you do find a camera and you do want to find a home for it, go to thenimblephotographer.com, send me a note, and let's talk. But let's see, 8 terabyte, too big, too bay, USB 3.1 RAID hard drive. First of all, I'm just going to tell you right off the top here. I just learned about this recently when I was researching a title that I was working on for Linda and LinkedIn on backing up and organizing. And I contacted a number of hard drive vendors and, you know, talked to them. What should I be talking about? What should I be talking about? And when I talked to Lassie, they said, well, definitely you should be talking about this unit. So I said, okay, let me take a look at it. So they sent me one and I started working with it for the title. And I just really fell in love with this because what do I like about it? Three things. First of all, it looks really good sitting on your desk, in my case, next to an iMac. I mean, it's very handsomely designed. Second, it's not too big. It has two drives in it spinning at 7,200 RPMs. They're SATA 3 drives. They're robust. They are enterprise level. These are great hard drives that are inside this handsome enclosure. They're actually Seagate Iron Wolf Pro NAS 4 terabyte hard drives, all right? Third, software comes with this that is fantastic, that allows you to, you know, set this hard drive up, this array, this two hard drive array, any way that you want. I mean, you know, not any way that you want. I mean, within reason. What I mean is either RAID 0, RAID 1, or, you know, just a bunch of disks. It's the JBOD option. Really means just a bunch of disks, okay? So you have really three options to set this up. What I did was I'm using RAID 1, and what RAID 1 means that you have 4 terabyte drives in there. You have a total of 4 terabytes because every time you write to this external hard drive, it mirrors on the other unit. So everything is backed up on the two drives. So if you have a hard drive failure, the other hard drive is a mirror of it, which means you're in great shape already. So I love that, and it's so easy to do. Now, you could go RAID 0 with this, and that's the fastest performance, actually, because then what the software does is that if one drive's doing something, it goes to the other drive, so it uses both drives at the same time, and you get a little better performance, and you also get, you know, double the storage. You get 8 terabytes instead of 4 terabytes because you're using both drives, but you don't have the backup. And then if you're using JBOD, you know, just a bunch of disks, then essentially you will have 2 4-terabyte disks, you know, show up on your desktop, and you can write to one and, you know, write to the other, do whatever you want. The software makes all of this really easy. And what I said in the review is that here I felt like I was like this cool system admin, right? Really configuring this thing and making it work. By the way, it works with both Mac and Windows. It works for both right out of the box, but you can fine tune it for your particular system, which I highly recommend because you get better performance out of it. And then I've been using it ever since. Took a bunch of older hard drives and I consolidated the contents from those hard drives onto this one so that I have a newer hard drive now with better performance, you know, newer disk, all that kind of stuff to store that valuable content for me. And then of course, it's instantly backed up onto the other drive. And the performance has been great. I've even been able to run Capture One catalogs off the hard drive, which normally I would only do off an SSD, right? A solid state disk, not an HDD, not a spinning platter disk. But in this case, it works fine. And if you're doing the other setup, if you do the RAID 0, it would work very well. It would work very well. It works fine this way, and it's not something I do all the time. Most of the time, I'm going to run off the SSD. But, you know, when I'm working on a specific project catalog that's only for a project, and I don't really want it on my computer. You know, I want it on the external. I want it backed up. And then when I'm done with the project, I don't want to have to deal with it, but I want to make sure that it's safe. And so sometimes I just work with them there, you know, just set them up there and work with them there. And it hasn't been bad at all. Alrighty. This is just a really nice setup. It looks good. It performs well. The software is great. You get really robust hard drives in there. And it's just a quality product. Now, the two big 8 terabyte is $451, and that includes the enclosure, both the drives inside, you know, the connecting cables, and the software. There's a 4 terabyte version for $349, and then there's a 16 terabyte option for $649. I would love to have that one, and that may be the next one that I get, you know, because then I could have 2 8-terabyte drives mirrored. That sounds pretty sweet. But right now, I'm really enjoying the 4-terabyte version that I have. It works great. So this is something that I'm just a huge fan of. If you're interested in it at all, or you want to learn more about it, I have links in the show notes, so you can go take a look. I have the review written on Digital Story. You can buy it at B&H and get a good price on it. And if you're looking for some robust storage that looks great, doesn't take up too much space, and performs really well, this one right now is my favorite. I have an update on the Humboldt workshop in Redwoods that was scheduled for May 13th, I believe. And after continuing to research and talking to folks and, you know, all the stuff that comes along with these uncertain times, I'm going to postpone that workshop. We're not going to have it in May. I'm looking at some alternative dates now, and I'm in conversations with those on the reserve list. Once we decide what we're going to do, and we're kind of do this collectively, then if there are any seats open with the new date, I'll publish those. I'll let you guys know, and we'll see what happens. I want to do this workshop. I love this workshop so much, but we need to figure out a time to do it that's going to be safe and that everyone's going to be comfortable traveling to it. So we're working on that now, and I'll keep you posted. But it is not going to happen in May. It's just too early yet. We're not ready to do it. As far as the summer and fall workshops, I think the fall workshop is very safe. The summer workshop, I'm going to start talking with my folks on that. I'll probably start that in the next week or so, and we'll get a feel for that. I'm hoping that we can pull off the workshop in July, but we have to see, you know, what happens over the next couple weeks. So stay tuned for that. More to come with our summer workshop. Fall workshop, we're looking good. And then, you know, we're going to move Humboldt to somewhere else because I want to do it and I want to go to the Redwoods. Alrighty. We'll get there. We'll get there. We just got to work through what we have to work through right now. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members, our Patreon members who support this podcast month in and month out. And if you want to learn more about becoming an Inner Circle member and hop in on this online course that we're going to be doing for digitizing family memories, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile. It's on all the pages of the Digital Story. Go over there, see what we're doing, see what it's about. Join this fine group of people who are supporting this show, supporting this community, and keeping things moving forward. A big thanks to all of our Patreon members. I want to mention that I have B&H and Amazon tiles on all the pages of the Digital Story. If you click on one of those tiles first before you order from those respective retailers, that helps out the show. Those are affiliate links, and we get credit for the purchases that you make. It doesn't cost you any more, but it may help us out a bit financially. So if you remember to do that extra step before you buy from B&H or Amazon, we very much appreciate it. And finally, a huge thanks to our friends at Red River Paper. These are the folks that are supporting us month in and month out for as long as I can remember. Going back, you know, when I was looking at some of the earlier podcasts last week when I was trying to decide which one I wanted to do for a throwback show, Red River Paper was part of those shows. I was just going, this is incredible. This company has stood by us for all these years. And they are also very worthy of our patronage as well, because they make fine, exquisite inkjet printing paper and all sorts of different surfaces. They have lots of information on their website. They have good customer service and they have fair prices. And if you're thinking about doing a little bit of printing, let's say that you join us for that digitizing family memories. You get some very nice digital files of some of that very precious imagery from the past, and you decide that you want to make prints of it. You want to make bigger prints of maybe of some of those images. You want to make fine art cards to share with family members. Then that's when Red River Paper comes in. So keep that in the back of your mind while you're working on this project. And remember, they have a tile on all the pages of the Digital Story. Go there. Learn more about everything that's going on at their site. And they have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I am so excited about this online course. I cannot wait to get started next Monday. I hope you'll be joining me. And either way, come back next Tuesday. I'm working on some stories that I think you will enjoy as well. Until then, have a great week. Be safe. Bye-bye now.